You are listening to The After Chat with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further. Greetings, my loves. I'm so excited to be here with you today on episode 1 of The After Chat. Now, for you that have been listening so far, I forgot to celebrate, actually. What? It was episode 10. That's a big deal, of Sexploration with Pollyanna. So that's my podcast that comes out every Tuesday. And what we're doing, my goal is to, in a collaborative way, and it has been so, thanks to you, so collaborative from the start. You've really been engaged, and that makes all of the difference. That's what I was hoping for. I'm a team player. As you may have guessed, I'm polyamorous, and I'm a swinger, which is the old way of saying the new way, lifestyle. So I'm all about team sports, right? No, but you guys have been a really big part about making that happen. So what's been happening is after the show, as I've encouraged you and you've stepped up, reached out to me in direct messages on one of my social media platforms, and then you've also, one of my many ones, and then you've also been emailing me, been so generous sharing your personal experiences. You've been generous with the questions, the incredible questions that you've had, that you've brought up, good points that you've had, insights, education for me along the way. I'm definitely learning along with you. And we're all experts in our own experience. I'm certainly an expert in nothing else. So I am really grateful to include you. This has been about us. But what I've discovered is these great conversations that we've been having after the show, all these chats, everyone else has been missing out on them. And I think it's such a shame. I think it's something that everyone can benefit from, for sure. So it became clear to me that it was kind of necessary to maybe do something to supplement the show so that we can make these conversations something that everyone can benefit from. And that's what this is, the After Chat. So on every Thursday, I'll have, at varying lengths, just depending. I've got a lot of material already to work through because of all of these chats we've had in the past that I can now share with others. With your permission, of course, and changing your name, always, always. So I'll be doing this every Thursday. And I have a few things I want to cover today. I'm going to make this first one a little bit on the shorter side, shorter and sweet, so that we can just kind of get a flavor for it and see what we think of it. And we can kind of change and mix things up. But first I want to get a couple of admin business stuff taken care of. So the topic of the podcast, Sexploration, this week was the Puritan wave, all about this huge crackdown on anything using the term sex, even if it's about sex positivity, sex education, sex subcultures, doesn't matter. Social media platforms are cracking down, and they're cracking down hard. If you're wondering why, please go ahead and listen to my podcast from this Tuesday to find out the origin story of that. So because of that, I've really had to adapt and kind of change some of my language so that I can still be accessible to you guys. And I hate to drop the term sexploration, because I'm so proud of it, but it'll still be on my logo, and it'll still be on my email and in my podcasts. It'll still be there, and we'll celebrate it that way when we talk about it. But in terms of the titles and the descriptions of all my accounts, those have been changed to remove the word sex. I know, but I had to adapt so that I could still be able to reach you guys and hopefully reach others in the future. So on Instagram, that has changed. That's now at Insta with Pollyanna, Insta, and then Pollyanna is spelled Pollyanna. Every time I spell that out, I feel like I need to like enter a spelling bee or something. I feel like I just spell the words with such a good diction. Diction's a good word. So on Instagram, it's at Insta with Pollyanna. On Twitter, it's the same as it was before because there's no sex in the term. So I guess that was a good move on my part originally. So on Twitter, it's at Pollyanna Tweets. And then on Facebook, you can now search my page because under pages, it's under the title With Pollyanna. So on Facebook, if you search With Pollyanna under pages, you'll be able to find me, like me, and keep up to date with everything that I've been up to. So please find me there and join the conversation. And then, of course, my email is still Sexploration with Pollyanna. Woohoo! So it's still there for sure. So today I am starting off with a follow-up from last week. I did a I shared an email from Robert. He's been listening to the show. He found me actually just through I think TuneIn was the platform he was listening on, and he was looking for the term polyamory. So I think that's really cool that he was able to find this show and connect with me there. And so that was a really wonderful sharing that he had. We talked about some questions he had and some issues that he's had come up with just starting out in polyamory. So he wrote me an email back responding, and I wanted to share it with you today. So he said, "Hello, Polly." he said it again. This is his original email. See, this is growing pains, right? Here we go. Here's the supplement email. Thanks for bearing with me. Okay, so he said, "I very much enjoyed listening to your response and your comments on the show. Poly relationships are complex, and you understand the dynamics well. I should have included more information on my email, but with my questions. And so, let's see here. Polyamory can be a complex topic, and it's easy to be overwhelmed. And honestly, I don't know where to start. I should probably first mention that I'm equally interested in mono and poly relationships, but that I have little experience in the poly world. In fact, I believe the very best possible relationship is a purely monogamous one." Interesting. "The problem is our lives are becoming increasingly more complex, and this seems like an impossible task at this point to find one person who can fulfill all of our needs." Interesting. It's difficult to find honest and trustworthy people who are real. And making it work is not only about being attracted and faithful to each other. They have to actually serve to benefit each other as well. For whatever reason, mono relationships lack proper standards of process in this day and age. People overcommit too quickly and their partners become toxic to each other. Bottled up emotions. And then he goes on to say, "In the old days, committed relationships were so much more critical to survival." True. "A man did not expect a woman's commitment until he got her to accept a ring on her finger. And then until then, she was as free as a bird." Not quite. Not quite. There's a lot of social pressures actually on women back in the day. So I'm gonna stop here and kind of address a few things. So what I'm hearing from you, Robert, is that you feel like there's a lot of lack of being genuine in relationships, in your experience in monogamy. I can relate to that. People have walls that are built up in the Tinderverse of dating. It's really easy for people to treat each other and view each other as replaceable, right? And maybe we move too fast. I've certainly had even poly relationships that move too fast. And then there's a level of so when you move too fast in a relationship to commit your life, your body, your everything, right? What you're not doing when you do that, when you move too fast, is you're not putting people through the test of time, and you're not putting people through kind of the boundaries and parameters of standards that you set for yourself. So of course you're going to be disappointed again and again that this ideal that you had in a person, they're not matching up to it, right? They kind of like, why does this keep happening? Like, I think it's great at first. And so we just move forward with the feeling. And it's because you're moving forward with the feeling. So this is what I do in polyamory. And it's actually kind of ironic to me that this format, I mean, it would have probably worked better in monogamy too. Maybe I'd still be monogamous. Oh God. But I feel like you need to give people the test of time, and you need to know your value. You know, if people want you to move too fast and they want to cut things off with you because you want to just take time to get to know them before you start to commit, before you start to really be invested, then they're probably not somebody that's very sincere about you in the first place, right? And there's this kind of funny thing that happens. When you know your value and you act like it, and you take the time and go through like the waiting period with people. Now, I'm not saying don't play games. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying play games. But what I tell people before I'm even intimate with them, and obviously intimacy is something at the forefront of, like, I'm poly swing for fuck's sake. Like, I'm looking for orgies and threesomes, right? But I say I'm slow to play. And I mean it. And what happens is I form these incredible bonds and friendship when I wait and get to know the person first. And that's just before intimacy. These are just people that are going to be my friends. And because I've done that, I've done this kind of like almost subconscious psychological thing. And it's not from a like playing a game perspective. It's because I know that this works in practice. It's because I know that I'm going to have an amazing friendship and I'm going to have an amazing experience for myself. And they are too, by taking the time to get to know them first. I'm not saying this is the right way for everyone, but this is the right way for me because this is something that I value. And I suspect you might too. So what happens subconsciously is I'm communicating to them that I have great value and I know it. I'm just going to let that sink in for a second, right? Think about it. If I'm not moving too fast, if I'm making sure that I feel comfortable first, what I'm telling them is that my comfort's important, is that my connection with somebody is important, and that if I don't have those things, I don't have to have sex, or I don't have to have a relationship if you're looking at it from a relationship standpoint. And you're also showing them that their experience, you're setting a good example for them too. So I'm making an inference here, but maybe this is what your experience in dating is. There's no need to rush, Robert. Just take your time with women. And it sounds like you're seriously considering monogamy too. I mean, don't look at polyamory as a band-aid for how dissatisfied you've been in monogamous relationships. If it's something that you're genuinely a part of you. Like, I don't do polyamory because I'm so jaded with people. And I think that, and I'm also not of the mindset. I completely fucking disagree with people that say that everyone's polyamorous and that it's just, that's how everyone's going to be. Fuck you. Who the fuck are you to tell monogamy? You know what you are? This is what I'm going to cover next week. You're a fucking better sexual. That's what the fuck you are. Why do you think people that are polyamorous, no, seriously, people that are polyamorous, that think they're so much goddamn better than everyone else, that thinks that everyone's monogamous is just fooling themselves and that we're all really polyamorous and that we're just, you know, like, the people that are monogamous are just, you know, stupid or don't know who they are. Fuck you. Like, you're such a better sexual and you need to go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. I have an opinion on this. And bisexual people too. I'm already talking about next week's topic. I'll really get more into it there. But there's a lot of bisexual celebrities, and I admire that they're out. But they all say things like everybody's pansexual or everyone's bisexual, and they just haven't evolved yet. Fuck you. Like, if a person is monogamous, has actually thought about it, and they're genuinely monogamous, or they're heterosexual, and they're genuinely heterosexual, and they put a lot of, like, genuine thought into it, and they didn't have to do that because it's a lot easier for them to accept themselves, or that's just how they're fucking born. Like, we had to fight all this time, and we still are fighting for people to accept us and not call us weird for being polyamorous or being bisexual, and then you're going to do the same fucking thing that they do? Fuck you. So I am not of the belief, and Robert, I know this is not what you're saying, but it just kind of took me off on a tangent. I know that you're not of the mindset that where you think that everyone's polyamorous and this is just how relationships are going to be. And maybe there's a piece of that you relate to. But I absolutely don't agree with that. There are people that are monogamous. They're absolutely monogamous. It's right for them. And let them be monogamous and celebrate that they're monogamous and that you're polyamorous if that's what you are. So it's never something that should be a band-aid to fix a relationship or to fix difficulties in dating. That's not what polyamory is. It's not a fix-all. It's not a catch-all. It's not like, oh, I've had a string of bad luck and this is going to take care of it. It's not like a format that's like a formula that'll help you with all these difficulties. No, it's either who you are or it's who you aren't. My heart loves and craves to love more than one person at once. That makes me polyamorous. I was born this way. That's how my heart loves. That's how my brain works. It's how my body works. That's how my life needs to work. It's like being born gay. Like, I was born bisexual. I'm 100% into women and I'm 100% into men. I am bisexual because I was born bisexual. My friend who's heterosexual, she's 100% into men. She was born heterosexual. It's not a band-aid. It's not a stage of evolution that people need to aspire, that people are just, if they're not there yet, then they're just not quite yet evolved. No, that's not at all what it is. So my heated, passionate telling of this, Robert, please don't think is reflected at you. It's reflected at like these celebrities that say this and at people that I've heard around and about that have said things like this. And I know you're not saying anything like this, but I stopped reading your letter for today and I might come back to it in another after chat. Because what I'm hearing from you is you're considering the two monogamous versus polyamory, and it might be possible that you're just considering it as a band-aid. And I really want you to sit down and think. Now, your instincts for polyamory may be so much more than that. Absolutely. And you might just be kind of going through this narrative in your head. I think a lot of people can relate to that. But you really need to sit down and think, is it that relationship issues because of the times are so difficult and that's why this is never working out? Or is it genuinely because these monogamous relationships that you've been having in the past, and this is something that I can speak to from personal experience, these monogamous relationships that you've had in the past just were missing something for you in their nature, in the way that they're built, that they were just never going to be able to provide. And that's a question that goes really deep. And you might even want to talk to like a sexologist, like a sex therapist. If you want, I can connect you to this couple that I just adore that are really, really well-versed and that can really help kind of walk you through what you're thinking and what your past experiences were. Those are things that I can't really answer for you. And partly these are things that you need to answer for yourself. That's what I had to go through, is I had to think to myself, okay, is it just that I've had all this bad luck with monogamous relationships? And is it just that, you know, it's a sign of the time? Like, I had a lot of these thoughts myself. But the conclusion that I reached was not that I needed to go and seek out polyamory as a fix-all. I sought out polyamory because my heart required it in order to really feel love in the way that it was designed to. And it has nothing to do with the shortcomings of our day and age, or just how dating sucks now. And in some ways, dating does suck now, but it's just intrinsically who I am. And I definitely want to caution you from adopting the points of view of better sexual polyamorists out there that think that everyone who has not yet become and they're out there. There are actually voices in podcasts and in YouTube videos, and I think it's so fucking ridiculous. And that's why I'm bringing it up next week, is these people that are, yes, I love that they're proud of who they are, but they're so proud of who they are that they're so oppressively proud of who they are on anyone who's not like them. It's like this elitist, like, I'm so much better than everyone else. And so everyone else should be like me, that they just don't know it yet. I would really caution you against that kind of mentality. Then it is out there. And I'm sure you've heard it. I know I have. I hear it all the time. That's why I'm talking about it next week. So I'll look through the rest of your letter. I actually just read it live here. So I know that there's so much more there. So I'll have to kind of cut that up into another show. But speaking of poly, there is, let's see here. There we go. There's a couple more exchanges of Facebook I wanted to bring up. So this was from Kelly, and he said I think he's a few episodes in to the podcast, just started listening, and we're connected on Facebook. And he said, you are hitting all my poly buttons. Oh, that sounds nice. I like the sound of that. And he says, my journey and progression from being a single swinger for many years has led to a poly mindset. I now need more rewarding experiences and adventures than just being a stunt. Ooh, I'm sorry that you felt that way. Listening to you is encouraging. I'm so sorry that you feel that way, that you've like felt objectified at times. There's certainly times when I'm approached as a single person in the lifestyle where I definitely kind of have to use my strong voice and give boundaries and remind that I'm not a toy. I'm not your toy. I'm a human being. And I get to decide to who I play with. And it's important whether or not I enjoy the lead up and the actual experience. So I know what you mean by saying you feel like a stunt. I'm so glad that I can encourage you and inspire you. And that means a lot to me. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thanks for letting me share that here. So this next one was actually a post I saw. So it was a post I saw on Facebook and this is another woman with a strong voice, and I love women with strong voices. I just adore it. I want to celebrate it. I had to work really, really hard to get my voice as strong as it is. I do have opinions, but I grew up, just a little bit of why, I grew up in a really emotionally abusive family, and so me using my voice was really discouraged. I really had to put a lot of work into, and actually break ties with certain family members who were especially big bullies in the family. And it was really hard to trust my voice and to get there. So I really admire women that have a strong perspective on life and share it so openly. So this woman definitely does. So for the show, I'm going to call this woman whose post I saw and she gave me permission to share. Her name is Mary. And then her husband's name is Daniel. And then their girlfriend's name is, let's see here. Oop. is Karen. So her post says this: Polly advice for couples. Stop that we only play and look together crap. It's ignorant and selfish. Plus, it kills situations that might develop naturally with me with time. Don't force a girl to sleep and love you both at the same time right out the gate. Some women warm up faster. Some warm up to men faster. Some women warm up to women faster. Stop trying to control the situation and just let it happen. So Karen had never been with a girl when Daniel and I met her. She slept with Daniel and was only romantically interested in Daniel initially. I stood aside and became her friend while they dated. That slowly turned into a love affair between her and I, and now encompasses all three of us. Had I been a jealous control freak, she would have been gone. Put the jealousy away. Grow up and let things flow. Trust me on this, or you will continually fuck up a potentially good thing. Great, great point, Mary. I love that so much. I just had to share it with you all. Sorry, I got locked out of my computer. I'll do that in a second. So, so she brought up such a good point. I feel like sometimes a primary couple, especially if they're new to polyamory, can feel like they have. And that's what, anytime you add another person, what you're doing is you're testing the strength of your relationship. You are setting yourself up, you know, for failure, for sure. The whole relationship pod for failure in yourselves. But if it's something genuinely you want to explore and you feel like your relationship's healthy and ready, an overabundance of restrictions is just really inhibiting. Now, I can definitely speak from personal experience with this. There was a couple that I dated where the woman had a lot of insecurities, and we all do. I have insecurities too. But because of her insecurities with other women, and she was bisexual, so I was dating both of them, she just really had a lot of walls up with everyone. And so dating her, even if it had just been me and her, would have been really hard, because having a conversation underneath the surface with her was really impossible at times, even when I sought it out. And it kind of got to a point where I felt like I had to check in with her and seek her out and try to spend time one-on-one with her, and she just wasn't really receptive to it. And then, you know, my connection with her husband, which grew very quickly because we were both willing to be vulnerable to each other, and we're both passionate people, made her feel very threatened, and then it just hurt. The whole relationship suffered. Now, in that instance, ultimately, it was a really good decision. That relationship would have ended anyway. But it was really unfortunate that she and I never really got a chance to bond because she had these big walls up. Because really, I think any woman entering that dynamic would have perceived as a threat. So that's what was clear about that situation was that they probably shouldn't have sought out polyamory. And if she had been more willing to be more vulnerable, if she had been more willing to be comfortable with that, because I think even if she had been more vulnerable with me, there still would have been, he and I would have connected faster just because of the personalities, and she and I would have been a slower grow, and that would have been fine if it was allowed for. So I anyone's going to bond in it. Like, think of your group of friends, right? Like, you might have a group of, for me, for my instance, it would be a group of gal pals. You have a group of friends and you all kind of bond in these different waves. Like, maybe you bond with, you know, hang out with this friend a lot more. And then, you know, for a few months you hang out with this friend a lot more, and it just kind of comes in cycles, right? And then the overall bond of friendship, this whole group, is really great, but you just kind of have these different growth patterns. And that's going to happen in polyamory too. Just because one person is bonding faster with another person, don't feel like it's going to threaten your whole relationship. Be open to the possibilities. Different strokes for different folks, right? Different relationships grow at different rates, and different relationships are not going to be equivalent. So you're going to probably have a different bond with one person in the polypod than you do with another. And that's not good or bad. We're all individuals. And so, of course, our individual connections, that special formula of the one-on-one experience within a polypod, is going to differ. And what I want to challenge you to, if you're experiencing polyamory, if you're dating it and then in the future, is don't see that as good or bad. See that as this beautiful variety. And that's, to me, that's what it is. It's a beautiful variety of connections. The two couples that I'm dating right now, it's a totally different connection overall with each couple and then individually with each person. And I love the variety there. I treasure each of the different varying degrees of connection and types and styles and the different kinds of inside jokes and the different kinds of communication exchanges and the different kinds of flirty looks we have. It's all different and it's all beautiful. None is better than the other. They are all wonderful and I treasure them all individually. Just like, you know, if you have children, you probably have a different bond with each kid. And it's not good or bad. It's just a different kind of relationship or with your parents, you know. You probably have a different bond with each parent. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing in its own right. Same thing with polyamory. It doesn't have to be one size fits all. It doesn't have to be one kind of love for everyone. And we don't have to be tit for tat. I think that's a really, really huge trap shoot if you do that. Okay, so I think that's all I wanted to do for today because we're almost getting at the 30-minute mark and I didn't want to go much beyond for episode one. So if you have anything to add, I was pretty bold with some of the opinions I expressed today. And if you want to add anything to now that you've gotten a flavor of what next week's episode of Sexploration is going to be, any thoughts that you have on better sexuals for me to kind of take and use in Tuesday's episode, I'd love to hear, or even in the after chat afterwards, because I was pretty opinionated today, so I'm sure you have some thoughts too. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters.